many of you are new. You weren't around in the, I guess it's the 80s, when I started the We Care Center. We had, the oil industry took a plunge back in the 80s. Anybody here still remember that? And, I mean, oil engineers and white-collar people, blue-collar people, a lot of people were out of work. And so the Lord directed me to start the We Care Center, actually for the church, for people that were experiencing a little bit of difficulty time. And then it expanded to we minister to all the community that we can. But I just wanted you to know, if you're experiencing a little bit of difficulty, and we all do, so don't feel ashamed to check in at the church office, and we'll be glad to help you with some food and stuff or to get you through the rough times. All right, that's what it's for. So, and we don't say that a lot of times, and so we talk about the community, but actually it was first started for church members that were going through a rough spot. And how many of you have gone through a rough spot? About all of us can probably lift both hands. But that it's just a way that family helps family, right? And we're the Rhema family, so we help one another. Praise the Lord. Well, I can't believe it's already the end of summer and school's starting. A lot of you can't either. I want to, I guess you give us a title, Fix Your Heart on God's Word. You know, as we go through our daily lives, we have all kinds of opportunities to become upset, and shaken, and get in the flesh about all the things that happen to us. And whatever we face in life, our only hope is the Word of God. Now let's go to Psalms 121:1. Psalms 121:1. I'm going to read the NLT. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? This is the psalmist asking the question. He looked to the mountains and he asked the question, does my help come from there? Then he lifted his eyes. In Psalms 121:2, my help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. You know, when we needed salvation, we lifted our eyes above and we received salvation. But that's the same thing that God wants us to do with every problem that we faced in life. For our salvation, we look to Him. God's Word is available for us in every situation of our life. Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. How long is forever? We can't answer that, can we? Have you ever noticed how many words we have in the English language? If you say one, what's the definition? Well, you use another word in the English language there. But that's just forever. How long is forever? You know, I mean, maybe you never think in those terms, but I was just, as I was reading, studying this, I thought, well, how long is forever? It doesn't have an end. Forever means that there is no end. Now, as we're looking at this, I want to read from Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible. He says here, the word rendered settled means to set, to put, to place, to stand, to cause to stand, to set up as a column, an altar, a monument. The meaning here is that the word, the law, the promise of God was made firm, established, stable in heaven, and would be so forever and ever. He goes on to say, what God ordained as law would always remain law. What he had affirmed would always remain true. What he had promised would be for sure forever. Now, if we look at this verse in the New Living Translation, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. The New Century Version, Lord, your word is everlasting. It continues forever in heaven. God's word is forever. It has no end. And it is forever settled in heaven. We just read it here. It's forever settled. That means it will never change. He stated it, he set it into motion, he set it into action, and it will stay the same. It will never change. Now, down here on earth, if we get enough people together and sign enough, get enough signatures and take it to the proper authorities and they vote on it, we can change a law. But I'll tell you what, there is no getting signatures in heaven. There is nobody in heaven that is wanting to rewrite the book, the law of God. The Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are all on the same page when it comes to what the Word of God says, what it will do, what it will deliver, and it is forever settled for us. You know, all heaven stands at attention to make sure that the Word of God comes to pass in your life as you quote it, believe it, and stand on it. All heaven backs the Word of God. You know, God stands behind what he said. And he doesn't need anybody. You know, some people say, well, I think this is what the Lord means when he said. No, he said what he meant what he said, and that's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's it. If somebody brings his word before him, he does not try to get out of performing it. Have you ever had somebody promise you something at a certain time, and when you went to ask them about it, they said, oh, I didn't say that. I'm not going to do that. I didn't tell you that. And you can't enforce that unless you have a written contract that says exactly what you're asking that person for, they said they would do, then now you've got the contract. You can expect them to uphold the contract. Guess what? God gave us a contract. It's called the Word of God. And when we call that contract in, call in what we need, it's there for us. It's forever settled. Everything that we do needs to be based upon the Word of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Everybody agree? God's Word is settled in heaven. Is that correct? But is it settled in your heart? Psalms 112, 7 and 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon the enemies. Now I want to look especially at the latter part of that verse 7. In King James it says, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The New King James says, his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Now you go to the Amplified Classic, and it says, his heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being confident in the Lord. Now we go to NLT, New Living Translation. They confidently trusted the Lord to care for them. And then another version, today's English version, his faith is strong, he trusts in the Lord. Now, what is your heart fixed on? Your heart can be fixed confidently on many things. But if you want God to move in your life, according to what he said in his word, you have to be firmly fixed, firmly convinced, and trusting God. Now, how many of you had an earthly father that you gave you instructions? Anybody here? Yeah. Or maybe somebody that took the place of a father. Sometimes we remember things that they said to us. They were told to us when we were sometimes just young children, sometimes teenagers, sometimes in our early 20s. How many of you remember something that your father told you when you were a lot younger than you are now? Most everybody got their hand up. Sometimes when I'm meditating on a problem or a situation that I'm dealing with, in my mind, I hear my father's voice saying certain things. Anybody else do that besides me? Oh, I got some friends in the house. You know, when that happens, it's like it's happening right then. And, you know, we are fully persuaded that what they said, that's the way it is. You know, today, many of us are acting on things that we heard our father say to us many years ago. One of the things that Dad always said to me, God, son, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And that's something that I live by today, something I've told my family. I not only heard him say that to me many times, but as we traveled all over preaching the gospel, back when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old and on up, I would see him put fuel in our gas tank with all the money, that's all the money he had. And get in the car and say, all right, Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do. That's all the money I've got. I expect the word to work and I expect us to get home. And I saw him say that, do that about a lot of different things. Not just that or not just finance, but a lot of things. And he would never worry about it. He never got upset. He never got uptight. And I never failed to see it work because his heart was fixed firmly. I mean, he was fixed on the Word of God. Now somebody might say, well, how can he be so sure? Well, if you go read his story, he came off the bed of affliction by believing Mark 11:22-24. They said he was going to die, but he lived to be 87, and he taught a lot of people to believe what the Bible says. You see, a matter of faith is not believing what some man told you. The matter of faith is believing what the Bible says. And I get really amused watching some of the Christian television. Of all the people that when they're preaching, they say, Brother Hagin said. Anybody ever notice that? And my dad used to say, why don't, I'm not saying that, the Bible said it. So why don't they just say, the Bible says. And I was thinking about that, and you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to give credibility to what they're saying because Dad said it. The credibility doesn't come from what some man said it. The credibility comes that God said it. So why don't, instead of saying, well, so-and-so said this, just say what the Bible says. Hello? Say what the Bible says. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's a simple, simple little statement. But how much truth is in that is yet to be completely fathomed. Because God's word is settled and it is inexhaustible. It's settled forever. So that means that it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next year, and the next year, and the next decade, and the next decade, and the next century to the next century until Jesus comes. It will stay the same. And it never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever changes. All of us, including myself, we have made some statements and then we changed our mind and recanted and rephrased. I got any friends in the house? God said it, and the word says that it's forever settled. You know, if your Bible don't have a bunch of yellow marks and different marks in it, then you hadn't been in it very long. And if you can see those pages right there where I'm at. And if you turn to that, that's all of Paul's writings. That's where you need. See, look, you can see that. That's what I live by. I got a little bookmark here. Dad's Bible bookmark. That young lady right there made that for me many years ago when she was in first or second, third grade. I can't remember which. I still keep it in my Bible. I use it there. But I want you to notice, I got blue here. I got red markings underneath yellow markings there. Because what this right here tells us everything we need to know. Right here. I just happened to open it. And here it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against powers of rulers in darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. God told us right here that we are going to have some spiritual battles. He's right here telling we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Now, some of us guys, we have wrestled against some flesh and blood guys. And sometimes we come out on top and sometimes we didn't. But what he's trying to tell you is here in the Word, you have to begin to study, is that you wrestle in the spirit world with the Holy Spirit, the power. Hello. See, we've got to get to the point that this Word is above everything else in life. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I quote that scripture many times a day sometimes. Now, God wants us to clearly understand and remember that our heart must be settled on what God says. In other words, we must believe the Word in our heart with no doubts. Many people say, well, you know, I'm believing the Word, but if it doesn't happen, then I'm going to do this. They might as well go do the other in the first place because their heart's not fixed. Hello? Who is our most, in the Bible, our greatest example of someone that was fully persuaded that God would do what he said. Somebody got it over here. I heard it, Abraham. Romans 4:21. God promised, and he is able to perform it. He was fully persuaded that God promised, he was able to perform what he promised. Fully persuaded means that they can't even beat it out of you. Hello? Sometimes you're going to find out if you really believe what you preach, what you teach, and what you read, and what you say you believe, when you're facing some task, some situations. You know, I see several of our Rhema people that serve in other countries sitting here. And I can tell you right now, the pickets back there, they believe what this Bible, are pretty persuaded what this Bible says because of where they are and what they're doing. Back about 1978, I was in Africa, and we were flying a little small plane to get to where we were going, and the pilot said, oh, there's a storm coming. I got to get back to the main city. And he landed on a grass strip out in a pasture. I've never been there before in my life. He said, there's a road over there. It's a highway. Get over there, flag somebody down. They'd be one of these guys that come by. It's a pickup with a deal on the back of it, and they give you a ride. You go into town, go to a certain hotel, and so forth and so on. And he dumped us out, and took off, and we had to walk about 100 yards across the pasture. And there was a highway, asphalt road. Wasn't what we would call a highway, but anyway, it was a road. And all of a sudden, this person come out of the, we didn't see anybody. Come out from the bush, the weeds and trees and stuff, and was pointing at us and jabbering in some kind of language. I don't know what she was saying. And about that time, here come a lot of other people. guys started coming out. Well, I don't even know where I'm at. I know I'm supposed to. I'm in this country. It's supposed to be this country. That's what they said when we landed. And I got on out of the main airport and got on this little plane. And all these people are coming at you, and they are saying things. You don't know what they're saying, and they're looking at you, and it doesn't look very friendly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the guy that was with me, I just grabbed hold of his hand. I said, in the name of Jesus, we are protected. The word of God says that no harm will come near us. By the blood of Jesus and the word of God, we are protected. In Jesus' name. And then I just started saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just not loud, just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you know what? All of a sudden, everybody just went back where they come from. I didn't see it. Well, nobody else around, just us standing out there in the middle of nowhere. But you see, when you really get with your back against the wall, that's when you find out if your heart is really fixed, if you're really persuaded. Hello? Now, you can be fully persuaded and reap the consequences of your current situation, or you can be fully persuaded of what the Word of God says and reap what the Word of God says. You either believe what the Word says, or you're tied to your circumstance and your situation and hoping that it'll come out all right. You know, sometimes people say, I'm hoping and a praying. Well, they might as well not be praying, because hope don't get you nothing. The Word of God gets you something. Quit saying I'm hoping and praying. Say, I'm quoting the Word and praying and believing what God said. You know, it's very simple to find out where people are at just by listening at them talk. My dad used to say this all the time. Some of you that have heard him say that. I've heard him say it in a message. If you want to know if they really believe or not, listen at them talk. And if every time you see them, they're talking about their situation. But then, in the next breath, they say, well, I'm believing God too. You see, either you believe in God, period, and you don't be concerned about the situation. It's very simple to find out what people believe, where they're at. According to Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 20th century New Testament said, what fills a man's heart or a person's heart rises to his lips. In other words, your words reveal whether you're fixed or not. What you're fixed on, really, should be what I should say. Because if they're fixed on your circumstances and your situations, that's what you're talking about continually. If they're fixed on what God's Word says, you are continually talking about what the Bible says. You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Now, my father used to tell people that were having trouble believing, he said, you can school yourself in faith. Anybody ever heard him say that? He said, you just keep saying the Bible, keep quoting what the Bible says, saying what the Bible says, and if you say it long enough, you'll start to believe it. And when you start to believe it, then you will start confessing that it's going to happen. And then you'll see it come to pass in your life. I know one time I was traveling with him. I was about 15, I guess. This man came up and told him, said, "I've been seeking for the Holy Spirit for 27 years. And I haven't received it yet." Dad looked at him. We were standing right down, right off the platform. And Dad looked at him and said, "Listen." He said, "I'm going to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit on Friday night." This is on Monday night. He said, "Every time you think about it, day and night, from now till Friday night, I want you to say, when Brother Hagin lays his hands on me, I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit. When Brother Hagin lays his hands on me, I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit." And later he said, he told Dad later, he said, "I must have said it 1,000 times a day." He said, "Every time I think about it, I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit." You know what? Dad came up to him and reached his hand out, and as he was reaching his hand, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He never did actually touch him. And a man threw up both hands and started speaking in tongues. Now, you see, what Dad was telling him, he told him later, he said, "When you start to say these things based in line with the Word of God, you'll start to believe it, and then you'll receive it." I don't know how many times I've heard him tell people. In fact, I know Bill over here and Tad, both of them, probably Pastor Denise as well. I know my wife. I've heard Dad tell people to keep saying what the Bible says. Keep saying what the Bible says. I've heard him tell them, say, "You say I'm going to have a healing service on Friday night, and you say I'll be healed Friday night. The Word says healing's for me. I'm going to receive my healing Friday night." And they did. That's what he used to call schooling yourself in faith. Let me understand what I'm talking about. See, you school yourself by saying what the Word says. And you say what the Word says long enough, you'll start to believe it, and you'll be persuaded of it. It will become fixed in your heart. You will become persuaded that the Word is forever settled. The Word is forever settled. In heaven, is the Word forever settled in your heart? When the two become connected, then you'll receive what my Word says. Because, see, you must believe that what I said is for you and for your time where you're at. And when you connect the two, I will be there to make sure that what you need will come to pass. And then no longer will you walk around in dismay and despair, but you will begin to shout and say, "The Word has brought me the victory." Because you see, if you believe the Word and say my Word, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's not in these notes. Everybody stand. I'm just going to quit right there. Say this with me. I firmly fix my heart upon the promises of God. I will see the forever settled Word come to pass in my life. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God that you have the Word and the Word is settled in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you happen to be with us this morning and you have never settled in your heart and received Christ as your Savior, or maybe you did, but you have got off course and you need to come back and rededicate your life, I want to pray with you and for you. If you're in this place this morning, just raise your hand right now. I want to minister to you. This is your time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If there's a hand over here somewhere, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody upstairs, downstairs, anybody? Listen, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, or wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in an aisle and come right down here at the front, and I'll come down and meet you, and I'll pray with you, and you will not leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And all to thee.
Come on, join this one. If you need Christ, you need to receive rededication of life. Come on down. Come on now. Hallelujah. Reach your hands out. What is your name? This is Randy. What'd you come for?
It's going to be prayed for.
Rededication. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that every need in this life is met according to the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go with Dave Barry. He'll take you. You'll be prayed with individually, prayed with more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Denise said earlier about peace. Get in the Word and find the scriptures on peace and say those scriptures over and over again. Whatever your situation is, whatever you need, find scripture in the Word of God that covers it. I've heard my dad say this many times, and I've said it many times in 67 years of preaching. You get in this Bible, you find scriptures that cover your situation, and you keep quoting those scriptures against your situation, because that's where the power is. The Word in the forever settled Word of God. Hello. How many of you getting a hold of what am I saying? Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. If y'all got something, we'll sing it. If not, we'll go.
I just had this melody as you were ministering this word come up in my heart. And I just wrote these words down. I'll fix my heart on what you say. I trust your word and do what it says. When circumstances change all around me, I won't be moved, but I'll lift my voice in praise. Oh, I'll trust your word to do what it says. No matter the test or the storm, I'll stay in the race. When circumstances change all around me, I'll stop and praise and lift my voice and say, oh yes, I'll lift my voice to give you praise. No matter the test or the storm, I make a choice to stay in the race. All the problems arise like storms on the sea. I'm gonna stay the course
people don't understand, Seth. That is called the ministry of the psalmist. And he got that as I was preaching, I guess, today. You see, that was that not uplifting? Huh? You see, that's what the Lord says. And we need to realize this. That's why I turn there, because so many times him or Dan will get something from the message. That's the ministry of the psalmist. That's what, you know, somebody says, oh, they're just singers. No, they're not. These people up here are not just singers. They're ministers, and that's their ministry, to help lead us into worship God. In fact, if you study in the Word of God, you'll find out the whole tribe of Levi was the ministry tribe. That's where the high priest from, that's where the priest from. But all anybody that took care of the tabernacle, and there was three different groups of them, that was the singers and the musicians. Anybody ever study that? And you go study in the Old Testament, you'll find that truth. And so in the body of Christ now, we have those of us that stand behind this pulpit. We have the ministers in the music area. We have the ministers in the congregation here that are helped with the church service. And see, that's what that whole tribe did. But they changed whenever Christ instituted the church, the called out ones, those that are born again. Then we all become ministers in some area. We may be working another job or doing something else, but we're all ministers in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. I don't know what I got off on that for, but it was just coming to me, so I just said it. And it stopped, so I stopped. Okay? Praise the Lord. Did you get a hold of what I'm talking about this morning? I know some of you already know this, but sometimes we need to be reminded of it and be stirred up again. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir yourself up. Hallelujah. Staff, go to the door so we can shake hands with you as you go out today. That's where we'll be, if you see on the screen. Tonight's church service here tonight. 6 o'clock Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Come believe and come expand. Next Sunday, back to school Sunday for all the kids. It's going to be a great time. Everybody come. As they sing, then you're dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.
I spoke the word.
I spoke the word.